Accompanied by my good friend, marketing partner, mentor, bon vivant, raconteur, Alex Weiss, out in Los Angeles tonight. Alex, how are you?
I didn't know somebody had the same name as mine, and they're your raconteur and your mentor. Wow, I'd like to meet the guy.
Your pronunciation is so much better than mine. Alex got a new Evo today. He's having fun hooking it up. But as always, it's a pleasure to be here with you. We promise you this. We'll give you 60 solid minutes of business-building information. Most of you know the ground rules if you're new to the call. We do an environment where everything here is totally cooperative and non-competitive. It's strictly business building information, no endorsements about products or people or comp plans or anything like that. I do want to give you something, though. You might want to just jot this down, www.10kwithnick.com. Gift from me and Alex, you'll get a free set of 8 CDs, have nothing whatsoever to do with any company, but have everything to do with making money. And this is going to be the last few days those CDs are going to be offered. So if you want a set or you want to get a set for your friend, absolutely no cost, no obligation, go there, register, and you'll receive a CD every other day, including a bonus CD that lays the foundation for all the training that we do. So take advantage of that because we're going to be transferring those marketing rights shortly. And they will not be available. Now, Alex, I don't know about you, but on my emails, what I hear is, Nick, there ain't enough Q&As. There's not enough interactivity. So we thought we'd do tonight, instead of going through a whole bunch of introductions and people saying hello and where they're from, and that's important. I'd like to hear who's out there. We're going to go live in just a minute, and we're going to give you a chance to actually interact with Alex and myself. And between the two of us, we've got a little bit of network accumulated and a little bit of success. And one of the favorite things I learned from a friend of mine, a man who became a friend of mine, who's a billionaire, is the best indication of future success is past performance. That's worth writing down somewhere. That's worth remembering when you're talking to someone, maybe you're in a recruiting scenario and you're pretty high on that particular prospect, a little litmus test, you know? Doesn't matter where you are, it matters where you're going. But certainly where you've been lends a lot of credibility and could be the tipping point towards you getting a really good prospect and a marketing partner who's a builder as opposed to a warm body. So good indication of future success is past performance. And, Alex, after we do the Q&A, you're going to work with me a little bit, and I think it's mostly going to be you because Alex sent me over 16 pages. I know we're not going to cover 16 pages tonight. But, Alex, tell them a little bit about the custom design prospecting that we're going to share with them.
Well, this is you know, I have teachers, and Nick heads the list there, and the reason for that is that it's something I heard a while ago. It's in my borrowed knowledge notes, and it's a gentleman by the name of Dennis Apsher who used the wording that I like. It's been around in different wordings. He says, surround yourself with people who can do the impossible. Surround yourself with people who can do the impossible and watch the miracles show up. In other words, if you raise the level of the group that you hang around with, and you raise the level by finding people, never find people who are not as smart as you. Find people that are smarter than you. And keep surrounding yourself with those people because they're going to find people that are smarter than them. And the more you hang around with them, just osmosis, it'll rub off on you. So one of the people I really enjoy, and he's just a gentleman I enjoy. He's had his ups and downs and works very hard. And what I get from him is information, but information that has been filtered by his brain. I mean, it's basically stuff that he either knows or created, and he makes it his own. So it's not really his own, but he adopted it, so it becomes his own. And one of the things that he talked about, this is a gentleman that has been in network marketing for a long time and has been teaching it for a long time. He's been the owner of a company and of an MLM company and done millions of dollars. And he decided that as part of his teaching, he's going to go out and he set a goal for himself of 365 people that he's going to talk to about his business. One a day. Some days he said he may take a week off and do seven the next week, extra the next week. And the reason he came up with this is he said that you have another muscle in your body that you don't know about. And he called it prospecting awareness. That's the name of the muscle. It's your prospecting awareness muscle. And just like any other muscle, you have to develop it. And you have to keep using it to keep it strong. Otherwise, you know, somebody lays in bed for a week or two, and they can't walk anymore because their muscles have lost their muscle tone. So he says that to develop this prospecting muscle, you have to raise your awareness. And your awareness is raised just by thinking about it. So when you go out in the world, you, whatever you're doing, whether you're riding in a cab or you're going to the market and you're standing online, wherever it is, you don't take a sledgehammer and try to convince somebody about your business, because that just doesn't work that way. Nobody's interested, no more than you would be interested. But what you do is you open up channels of communication and start developing relationships. So this thing about the custom recruiting, the custom design recruiting, is all part of that. How do you go about and start building and flexing that recruiting muscle and start increasing the awareness? That, by the way, that's how you measure the strength of the recruiting muscle. You don't measure the strength by how many people you recruit, because when you have your awareness at the right level, you're just going to be a recruiting machine. That's just the way it is, because every person you talk to is on your radar as a recruit, potential recruit.
You ever been in a zone like that, Alex?
I have, and it's usually when two things. When you don't take an interest in a business, it's when you make a commitment to the business. There's a big difference to having an interest in a business like a passive investment, or when I think about it, I'll do it. And when you have a commitment where you burn the ships, it's like what's the name of the explorer that came to Florida and to make sure that nobody would rebel against him and want to go back to Spain, he burned all the ships. They were stuck here no matter what.
I think you're thinking about Montezuma in Mexico.
Somebody like that. But you make the commitment, you burn the bridges behind you. This is it. You're going to live or die based on the business that you're in. And when you make that commitment to nobody else but yourself, you realize that you think about it all the time. Imagine if you were close to broke, which I've been there, so it's not something that you dream about it. I mean, when I grew up, my parents couldn't afford beds. We slept on mattresses on the floor. And all I could think about was making money to get stuff I wanted. I had to earn money if I wanted to buy a pair of pants. My first pants that I can remember were second. We went to the Goodwill store and bought them secondhand. And, you know, when you have that burned in your mind that whether it's something you want or something you don't want, then people will run longer, harder, and faster to get away from pain than they will towards pleasure. So it's always important to know what somebody's afraid of and what you can talk to them about that fear. But you can add to it the realization that you're one recruit away from explosive growth. Because it's not the person you recruit that's going to make you the big bucks, and it's not the person they recruit, but it's somebody 5, 6, 10 levels down. Nick, correct me if I'm wrong, but I was told once that Jeter, the guy that's, or Yeager, the number one guy in Amway,
was, Yeager.
Dexter Yeager was number 163,000 to join Amway?
Probably pretty accurate. Way down. It wasn't certainly the innovator with Rich DeVos and his partner there. So,
and he's the guy with the jet planes, with the Rolls Royces in every airport, and with the I heard it was a 1 million square foot warehouse just for his tapes and support materials. It's there, and you start off with simplicity. You start off with the 3 foot rule, and everybody's heard of it. If anybody is close enough to ask a question, how are you? I mean, that's all you got to do. You get there, you make eye contact. How are you? You're standing in line in the grocery store. How are you? Boy, I hate standing in lines. You know, just start a conversation. Be honest. Be truthful. But the purpose of the conversation is not to talk. People are afraid to enter into a conversation because they think all they have to do is talk. I remember when, Nick, I don't know if I ever shared it to you, but when I first, my first job was as an accountant. Then it lasted a year. I said, I'm not going to sit around with a pencil in my hand my whole life. And I got into business, and a couple of years later, I think I was 23, 24, I got a sales job selling wristwatches, and I got stressed out, pain in my stomach, when I had to think that I had a luncheon appointment with a buyer, and I would sweat because I didn't know what to talk about.
And later on, you liked it so much, you bought the company.
No, I quit when the boss didn't keep his word. After 3, he says, work for me for 3 years and I'll give you stock in the company. At the end of 3 years, he says, what are you talking about? And I pulled out the document because I knew he'd say that. He said, you can go paper your bathroom with that. You're not going to go anywhere else. You got a sweetheart deal here. And I said, if I don't have the shares within 48 hours, I quit. He says, you'll never quit. I quit. He didn't do it, and the customer that represented a third of our business, which was a division of Thrifty Drug, we represented 25% of their bottom line, and I quit 2 weeks or 4 weeks before. That's right. It was April 15th. I quit April 17th. 2 days later, it was before May 7th. I think was Mother's Day, and he calls me up. The guy's name was Peterson. He was the president, and he said, Alex, you quit? I said, yes. And he said, well, what am I going to do with my order for $1 million worth of product? He said, I told him, the company will take care of it. He said, I didn't deal with the company. I dealt with you. You get your act together, and I expect delivery in the store in time for Mother's Day. And that was the beginning of my watch business. And
I think
from there I went into the computer business.
That's called building relationships.
You build relationships. You make it so that people like you. I never had to sign a contract because people knew that I worried about their business more than they did. And I did.
Okay. Now, I got to interrupt you because you're on a roll here, but there's a few things and there's some key points that Alex made. I want to share them with you. First of all, Alex, I think we were talking about Hernando Cortez. I think that's pretty accurate when he was conquering.
I think you're right.
Conquering Mexico, but we could give the same analogy back in the ancient Greek days. I'm sure the same battle strategy was used. Here's a couple of things I want you to remember. I hope you write it down. Look, we are all products of our genes and our environment. We can't do too much about your heredity, but who you hang around with and what you think about is probably going to be pretty much. Where are you going to go in life, all right? If you hang around with poor people, there's a good chance you'll be poor. If you hang around with gamblers, there's a good chance you gamble. Now, here's my point. A lot of you are under the misconception that your downline is the most important part of the equation. That's not true. It's your upline. That's how you grow. Otherwise, you've got somebody who makes $40,000, recruit somebody who makes $35,000, because you tend to recruit at lower levels of income, who recruits $20,000, et cetera, et cetera. So recognize that your upline is more important than your downline. Nobody teaches that better than Brad Hager, but I don't want to go into the whole thing tonight. Second thing, the awareness factor Alex was talking about. Try this tomorrow. When you're in your car, pick out a car, an SUV, or a truck. Just pick out whatever you like. Most of you guys know I like Cadillacs. Let's pick out a Cadillac. And all of a sudden, for the next 3 or 4 minutes, pay attention to your driving, But you'll notice Cadillacs come out of nowhere. All of a sudden, you'll see Escalades, you'll see DeVilles, you'll see the new SRX. You might see a couple of XLRs, whatever. Then refine it a little bit more. Pick out a color. Look for a silver one. Look for a black one. Look for a white one, whatever. And amazingly, you're going down the same stretch of highway you've probably driven every day for the last 10 years. A silver Cadillac Sedan DeVille comes up out of nowhere and keeps popping up. Because now what's in your subconscious is in your conscience. And that's part of the idea of having your radar on at all times in order to be a good recruiter. Now, I want to give you one other thing with what Alex is saying here. This is very simple, and it's a good way to train your new people. And most of you guys know this, but you should explain it to your new prospect. Most people join us in networking, join. Alex, I don't know why I'm holding the phone up to my face here. You know, I got a microphone here. I've been doing that for the last 5 weeks. Let me put this in my pocket. Most of us recruit people join on a part-time basis. And we generally share with them that if they can invest 10, maybe 12 hours a week, let's just call it 10 hours, they can achieve some degree of success, maybe even turn a part-time opportunity into a full-time income. It's been done many times. Maybe get out of what you're into. Maybe replace an income. And, you know, maybe bring a partner, you know, your husband or your wife home from work and replace that income. I don't know. But I do know this. All you have to do is get the message across to them that during that 10 hours a week, they very simply have to show the plan, whatever your program is, whether it's an internet company, a health company, a seminar company, whatever it may be, they simply show the plan 4 or 5 times a week. Please write that down. 4 or 5 times a week. Now, this could be a webinar, it could be a flip chart, it could be a conference call, it could be face-to-face, it could be over the phone, you could be sending emails, but 4 to 5 times a week builds that muscle in two ways. Number one, it makes you cognizant that there are people all around you, whether you're using Craigslist, software, ads in newspapers, warm market, 3-foot rule, 30-foot, there's tons of people. There's plenty of people who make plenty of money. The other muscle that's being flexed is the fact that you're going to get better and better at presentations. You might start off over a kitchen table in your house or their house with a little flip chart. You might upgrade that to, some people call it a gathering. In the technological area, they call it a business briefing. In the health area, they call it a tasting. And next thing you know, you've got 5 or 10 or 15 people, and maybe you're just running a VGA cord up to a flat-screen TV, and now all of a sudden you're not using a flip chart. You're showing it on the TV right there. And then you might upgrade that. You might be doing a hotel meeting with 1,000 people in a room. I don't know. But it all starts from building that initial muscle that Alex was talking about, which is a two-prong approach. It's a gilded sword. It is getting in front of people, and if you get in front of enough people, you're going to get results, and it's building your confidence and correcting your presentation, because nobody's perfect. But in the pursuit of perfection, what? We can achieve excellence, right? So we can be pretty good. Write this down, please. It's simple, but it's not easy. Well, Nick, what do you mean by that? I mean, every one of these companies that are out there have a simple marketing plan that doesn't require a college degree, doesn't require a great level of technological expertise, doesn't even require a lot of people skills. But it's not easy because most people simply don't have the discipline to perform the activity. Why don't they have the discipline, Nick? They don't have the discipline because they don't have the confidence. Why don't they have the confidence, Nick? They don't have the confidence because they don't have the knowledge. Now, that's where me and Alex come in. That's where your upline comes in, back to my original comment that your upline is more important than your downline. If you get the knowledge and can internalize it, then you'll have the confidence which you can apply, which will give you the discipline to do nothing more than lead by example, do 4 or 5 actual presentations, like I said earlier, face-to-face, over the phone, it doesn't matter, and probably do one of these meetings, you know, whether it's a tasting, a gathering, or private business reception. That's all. That's how simple this business really is. But take me up on my offer tomorrow. Pick a color car, truck, SUV, whatever. Put that in your mind, and as you drive for the next 10 miles, you'll be amazed at how this comes. Same thing Alex was explaining when you're looking for prospects. That's a lot of good information. Go ahead, Alex. I had to interrupt you.
I'd like to bring some more to it, and that is, when you're filling up your bucket, most people fill the bucket and don't realize that there are holes in the bottom. And you've got to plug those holes. One of the biggest holes that, and I have this issue myself, one of the biggest holes, people who go out and finally do make give exposure to their program and do start making contacts, is that after they've called them and told them they're going to call them back or give them a tape or told them they'd meet them at a business meeting, whatever it is, you must follow up. And it's a really sophisticated, complicated tool that'll help you do that follow-up. It's a little calendar. Just write in what you have to do when. That's it. And you won't waste, and it's a waste, you won't waste all those exposures. Now, the other thing that if you now you really have to have fortitude and courage to be able to do this, because most of you will end up crying after you do this. If you really want to see how effective you are, take a sheet of paper and put in there every 15 minutes, you put in midnight, 12:15, 12:30, 12:45, 1, and just make a couple of sheets like that where you have space for every 15 minutes. Pick a day. Pick Tuesday. Pick tomorrow, Thursday. And just every 15 minutes, make a little note what you were doing. And then at the end of the day or the following week, look at what you spend 24 hours a day doing. Most people waste, literally waste, a big chunk of life. My father-in-law, God rest his soul, when he wanted to make a point, he'd say, just take that amount of time that you've wasted and multiply it by 10 years, 365 days times 10 years. And you'll be amazed. If you waste 1 hour a day, is 365 hours for the year, is 3,650 hours in 10 years. With 2,000 hours in the average work week of 40 hours, that's 1.5 years of a full-time job that you waste every year by just wasting 1 hour a day. And if you think you don't have time to do this business or whatever business you're in, picture what it would be like if you had an extra year and a half to do the business full time. I can't do it on part time. Fine. Figure out where those hours are. And I'm sure, and yes, you shouldn't be a workaholic. You should take some time off to rest. But the successful people that I've been associated with usually were extremely critical of their own actions in a healthy way, because it's okay to make your decision to spend to just veg out and spend 3 hours in front of the TV, especially if it's the seventh game of the Lakers playing. You know, I know a lot of people that do that who make a lot of money. But analyze what you're doing and be aware of it and do it by choice. Make a conscious decision to do that. And there's nothing wrong with me. It's a free country. Make a conscious decision, but don't fall into it by accident. What I found is that people who are successful, when they have more to do than they have time for, they either find a way to get somebody else to help them, or they start pruning the things that they're doing, or they get up an hour earlier. I know people. You know, take some doctors. There's some doctors that work 36 hours without ever going to sleep. I spoke to a doctor friend of mine, emergency room specialist, and we were talking about sleeping. He says, oh, I learned long ago how to sleep standing up. Because they have a choice they wanted to make. I want to do more than I can do if I sleep 8 hours. Let me find out what else I can do, and if nothing else, I'll sleep 7 hours. Yeah, it's as simple as that. So once you get into that mode of being sure that you're spending the time the way you want to, then you can take a look at your goals of what you're trying to achieve. The thing that really blew my mind was I like to read stories about successful people, and this was a gentleman about 25 years ago who was the owner of the largest chain of food stores in Japan. And, you know, people make a one-year plan, a five-year plan, a 10-year plan, a 20-year plan. His plan was 400 years. Now, you say, why would anyone in the world think about making a plan like that? Because what he was looking for was what he was building to survive and exist when he's gone. And it meant that he couldn't do everything himself. He had to surround himself with powerful people. Otherwise, everything would fall when he's gone. And there are many companies like that that depend on the founder to put the energy into the company. But it just blew my mind. 400 years. I have a hard time with a week or a month. And he got up every day at 4 in the morning to meditate for half an hour and to work on his goals. That's what he did in the morning. He worked on his goals, 400-year goals. So those are just ways to get real. In other words, to become honest with yourself, that when you say something to yourself, I can't do it. And by the way, Nick, did I ever tell you about my daughter who took that S seminar 30, she's 40 now, so she took it 34 years ago.
You told me, but that's worth sharing with everybody else.
I got involved with some mind enlightening stuff. I love that kind of stuff where you push your brain and your body to the max. And I sent my our six-year-old daughter at the time, for 2 weekends, Saturday and Sunday, to go to this webinar. And we put her in someone else that was going, an adult was taking their kids too. And at the end of the 2 weekends, I asked my six-year-old daughter, what did you learn? Six-year-old. She says, we learned can't lives on Won't Street. When somebody says they cannot do something, it's because they're afraid to say the truth, because what they really mean is they don't want to do something, but they're afraid somebody will give them an argument about it, so they say they can't do something. And when you say you can't enough times, guess what? Your own predictor of what reality will become. You won't be able to do it. So it's okay to say, I don't want to do it. Absolutely okay. Nothing wrong with that. But don't say you don't want to do it. Don't say you can't do it when you really mean you don't want to do it. That's just disempowering.
Let me tie some of this together here, because we're going to come up on the half-hour mark and go to Q&As. But I want you to all think about something, because I get these psychological reverberations over the phone. Nick, Alex, where's this going? I want you to write this down. The yellow balloon, okay? And what we're trying to get at here is when you're doing a prospecting program, regardless of what it is, people are going to want to recruit in the manner in which they were recruited. You've heard me before. I said you could put a $10,000 ad in the USA Today, and if you got 4 responses and recruited 2 of them, you would figure out your cost per sale is 2 into 10,000, each of those recruits cost you $5,000. Your cost per lead was 4 into 10,000. Each of those leads cost you $2,500. But you know what? Those two people that you recruited, even if you told them I spent $10,000, it wasn't a very profitable marketing campaign, that's how they want to recruit. They're going to run that ad. If you're walking around with a yellow balloon and somebody comes up and you recruit them because you got a yellow balloon, they want the yellow balloon. So you've got to have a prospecting system and recognize that what you are doing in offering in a prospecting manner has to be duplicatable. That's why if you hold a business reception or a gathering or a tasting, whatever what you want to call it, you can get people up and get them going the next day. That's why if you recruit people using dialing software, which requires a little bit of investment of capital, you better make sure your marketing partner that you're bringing on board has got the necessary capital to set up a system like that and has a little bit of technological expertise. And that's why we, as leaders and big-time recruiters, because many of you are on this call, have to experiment with each of these different venues of prospecting. So when you find a teacher or a coach, it makes sense if they came from your warm market to put them into their warm market, because they got a better warm market than you have. When you have somebody who's got a little bit of technological expertise, you take advantage of technology, you take advantage of the internet, you take advantage of social media. But you don't put a square peg in a round hole. You don't recruit somebody from a newspaper ad and try to put them on some $500 software system. You don't take somebody from a software system and get them to run ads in newspapers. Well, Nick, I've done that, and it's worked. I'm proud of you. Everything has an exception. But you want to write this down. It's don't risk a lot for a little. Don't risk more than you can afford to lose. And the big one, number three, is don't violate the odds. In other words, load the odds in your favor. We always want to load the odds in our favor. Alex was talking about Dexter Yeager a little while ago. He's the exception, but certainly it shows it's possible. But I'll be very candid with you. If you want to capitalize on where your company is going and growing, you should know that companies go through a foundation stage, a momentum stage, and a solidification stage. If you want me to be more detailed, it's inception, takeoff, rapid growth, maturation, decline. Wow, companies are just like people. Inception, takeoff, rapid growth, maturation, decline. Inception's when they get all the headaches. I know of a company right now that they're trying to hand out money. They don't have the cards geared up right. The checks are screwed up. It's a new company. They've been around for 3 weeks. They're going through growing pains. I don't want to be there during the inception stage. That's when all the wrinkles have to be worked out. That's when everybody's spending a lot of time doing things other than recruiting, which makes everybody money. But during that takeoff and rapid growth, that's when all the money's made, not during maturation decline. So figure out where you can be in the top 2 or 3%. Because if you're with a company that's coming out of, what, inception and going into takeoff, if you project out, and Alex is a big proponent of planning for the future, 4 or 5 years down the road, that judgment that you made to join that company will place you in that top 2 to 3%. And then what are you doing? You're loading the odds in your favor. You're increasing your chances for success. Pretty good, right? So far? Alex, I know we have a lot more to cover, but what I'd like to do is I'd like to take a few Q&As. I don't know if we're going to have Q&As for 3 minutes or 30 minutes.
Let me throw one thing in here, and because we talked about the customized recruiting plan, and it's do you mind if I just throw that
in? No.
It'll take about 10 minutes, 5-10 minutes.
Well, here's what I was going to do. Why don't we do this? Why don't we go to Q&As? We might not have any questions, and then we'll come back. But regardless, you stop me at 10 up. And now, Alex,
after telling people I keep my word, I want to make sure we keep our word.
And I actually watched Game 7 down in Florida with a new friend of mine, Super Dave, and I was looking for your neighbor who's sitting next to Jack Nicholson, but I realized I wouldn't recognize him if I saw him.
There was a 6'7" heavyweight guy, heavy set gentleman at the far right side of the screen with a white shirt and black pants with a scruffy beard. That's one of my neighbors.
Well, that's some serious ticket money when you're courtside at a Lakers game.
After Game 7, you're talking about mid five figures, 50 grand.
At least. Hold on 1 second here. I'm going to open it up. Somebody say hello so I know we're live.
Hello.
Here's what I'd like you all to do, if you would. If you'd be so kind, if you're not going to ask a question, would you be kind enough to hit *6 right now? That'll block out all the background noise. And there's definitely more than 2 people on this call, Alex. And then if you want to come back in and ask a question, you can hit *6, which will unmute your phone. And Alex and I are going to open it up, and feel free to ask us anything, but I'm going to ask you to respect one thing. Remember what I said at the beginning, we don't discuss specific companies or products, but you can put your question in the form of a generality or hypothetical, and I'm sure we can get you to where you want to go. Now, it's always tough to be the first one to ask a question. So, Alex, do you have a special gift for the first person to ask a question tonight?
Yeah, our best shot at 2 answers, yours and mine.
Yeah.
That's a good answer, Alex. I like that. All right, who wants to go first?
Related, and neither appears to have a direct connection to the spill. One man shot and killed himself.
Okay, that sounds like
somebody's watching TV while they're talking to us. That's not what I meant about using your time effectively.
*6 on that one, please. All right, somebody step up to the microphone. Let's get rolling here.
Nick, hi.
Okay, who is this, please?
This is Gene.
Okay, Gene, tell everybody who you are and where you're from, and we'll go into your question.
Oh, sure, Nick. This is Gene. I'm from Champaign, Illinois.
Delta Bruins will take up residence on the Texas side.
And I've got a question. Here it is. I have sometimes a difficult time when they approach a prospect.
So Gene, let me ask you something. Are you on two phones? Because I, Gene, are you on two phones? Because I got a little bit of harmonic distortion.
No.
Okay. Go ahead. I can hear you.
Okay.
What's your best opening, Nick, to create interest when you're trying to get, let's say, an appointment with a potential prospect, either on the phone or face-to-face? And I've heard something like that called as a 30-second commercial either, or perhaps an elevator.
Okay, you want a little elaboration on last week's call here. Hold on 1 second, Gene. Incidentally, Valerie, I can hear you in the background there and a few other people. Star 6 will work now when I'm in minimo, but when I come back off. Alex, I don't know if you heard Gene or not, but he wants what you call an elevator speech or what I call a 30-second commercial. You want to go first? You want me to go first?
You go ahead.
All right. You only have a few seconds when you're talking to somebody, whether it's over the phone or face-to-face. So you got to come up with something. And my standard one is, you know, if, particularly because I use the phone a lot. I don't do a lot of face-to-face recruiting. That's changing. But if I could eliminate, Alex, if I could eliminate your two biggest monthly expenses, that's probably your car payment and your house, without touching your primary source of income, would that be worth 30 minutes of your time? Would it?
Absolutely.
And is the car and the house payment the two biggest monthly expenses?
Yes, they are.
Okay. And you know, that's all you do. But, Gene, what makes it different is once I get that information, and this is something people don't get. They just go ahead and book the appointment and say, look, I heard from Nick. I'm supposed to be professional, be in a hurry, get off the phone. That's fine. But spend an extra minute and say, so, Alex, help me to help you so I can get a dollar amount here. What kind of car payment are we talking about?
$300.
Okay, and what kind of car is that? Do you have more than one car?
Yes, but one's paid off and one's not.
Okay, you married? And what, you have a car, your wife?
Yeah, she's got the nice one.
Okay, and do you own your house or do you rent your house?
I'm at this point in time renting.
Renting your house. So what are you paying for rental payments?
$2,700.
Okay. And so if I could show you how to eliminate the $300 and the $2,700, that's about $3,000. You got a piece of paper and a pencil handy?
Sure do.
So write down $3,000. And listen, Alex, I don't want to be unrealistic. I probably can't get you to $3,000 between now and the end of June, although it's been done. But if I could get you to $3,240 between now and the end of July, and it could grow from there, is that something you'd have an interest in?
Oh, sure.
Okay. You think you might even be interested in making more money and actually buying a house?
I'd like to have it again. I lost the last one.
Okay. That, see what I did there, Gene? First of all, Gene, who rents? With very few exceptions, the only people that rent are people that can't afford to buy a house. Now, some of you don't want to be talking like that, but that's just a fact of life. People don't rent and pay for somebody else's equity when they can build their own equity. Now, some of you are saying, well, Nick, it's a good market right now to rent. This is down, that's down. If you're thinking long term, like Alex talked about, you want to own your own home, right? Probably own some rental property, too. So, Gene, that's one of them. The other ones are, you know, depending on the situation, because you've got to have these at your fingertips, what if I could show you how to make full-time income on a part-time basis? You know, Alex, you like your job?
As much as the next guy doesn't like it.
What was the one you told me today where you're talking about liking your job? This is a good
talking about the custom approach, custom recruiting plan for a guy who hates his job.
Yeah.
And what this was the eight steps that we talked about once before: be in a hurry, compliment the prospect, make the invitation, make a deal with the guy. If I did this, would you do that? Get a time commitment, confirm it, get a time and a number, and get off the phone. So what the custom approach is, taking those eight elements, putting it on a sheet of paper, and before you talk to the person, know what you're going to say. So let's take this example, the person who hates the job. And you just use the direct approach, and you talk about the first was be in a hurry. So the first thing you could fill in, and this is coming from a sheet that I saw filled out, Hey, I don't have a lot of time to talk, but it was really important that I reach you. That's the hurry. You took care of that first step. You set the parameters that you're not in for a long chat.
Alex, would you repeat that? Because that's a good one. I like that approach.
Hey, I don't have a lot of time to talk, but it was really important I reach you.
And you put their name in there. Yeah, that's a good opening. Go ahead, Alex.
The next one we talked about was to give them a compliment. So something you got to give. Let's say, look, listen, you're one of the most financially intelligent people I know, and I've always respected that about you. And whether you say, look, you're a gentleman that's always on time, or we just met and I can hear the way you're talking, you're really educated and you care about what you say. There are 50 different things you can say. You could even talk about, you know, that there are two things I look at that tell me that a person cares about how they look, their watch and their shoes. And your shoes are spit polished. Did you spend any time in the military? There are ways to pay a compliment. The next thing is...
Let me interrupt you, though. The compliment has to be sincere. It's got to be appropriate.
Absolutely.
Don't tell somebody you respect them for being a financial wizard if they're hanging on by a thread. But, Alex, let's do this. Hold on 1 second. Let's save those. Can we put those up on the blog so we have all 8 of them?
Sure.
And let's see if we can cover the rest of them as we see if we got any more questions here. But if you guys go to nickskolsky.com tomorrow, we'll have this call up there, and we'll have those 8. What would you call those, Alex?
Simply 8 steps in creating your custom-designed recruiting plan, because it's designed for each person. You think about it before you talk to him. You know the night before what you're going to say to them.
So we got 6 more steps to cover. We're going to get through those. We got plenty of time, but we had a way to answer a specific question while we're doing that, so I'm going to go back live here. Hold on 1 second. Gene, say hello.
Hello.
Does that answer your question?
Well, it certainly does. Thank you and Alex immensely.
Okay. No problem. Somebody else have a question? Last chance for Q&A. One more time. Okay. Alex?
Okay.
I see that. We have plenty of time now. Now we'll go to step number 3.
So now the step 3 was make an invitation. So you have to know in advance how you're going to invite them, what you're going to invite them to. So, again, this is the person who hates their job. When you told me you really didn't like your job, were you serious or were you just kidding around? And wait for an answer. And then the answer, whatever he gives you, he says, great. Whatever answer he says, yes, no, doesn't matter. You come in with what you wanted to say. Hey, great. You know, I think I found a way for you to create an exit strategy without jeopardizing your family. I mean, it's as simple as that. And then the step 4 is the trade-off. If I did this, would you do that? I have a CD that you have to listen to. And remember, put some enthusiasm into it. I have a CD that you have to listen to. It describes what I'm talking about better than I can. Here's the deal. If I gave you this CD, would you listen to it? And now comes the time commitment. After he says yes, if he says no, then, you know, skip it. Next, you know, it's SWSWSWSW. Some will, some won't, so what? Someone's waiting. So now, the next thing that comes up is you want to get a time commitment. When do you think you could listen to it? For sure. And the other way to handle that, look, I don't have a lot of these. I really want you to listen to it. I need it for some other people I was thinking of. Do you think you could finish it by tomorrow night so I could pick it up from you? And you pick it up. So
something given with no value has no value.
That's right.
And what Alex is doing is building value. Whether you're securing an appointment over the phone or handing out a CD or you're inviting somebody to a hotel meeting, you've got to edify. You've got to build the value. Go ahead, Alex.
And now you want to reinforce it and confirm it because he said he'd listen to it by Tuesday. So then you just say, Tuesday? So if I called you Wednesday morning, you'll have reviewed it for sure, right? Because you want a deal here. You're creating a deal. You give something, they give something. Your time is valuable. You could be talking to someone else who might be a real catch. You know, don't give it away. So you, now you've confirmed it. Now you get a time and a number or some kind of structure for, all right, I'll check back with you then. What's the best number for me to call? You know, just get into the nitty-gritty. There's no way to build a foundation for something unless you build it with the nitty-gritty. That's what you can – you can't build it on sand. You got to have something concrete there. And the eighth one is a real simple one. Great. We'll talk then. Got to run. Thanks. And I'm reading this. So you have a different one. Let's say you're talking to a good friend, okay? The same 8 points. You say, so insert a hurry script. Hey, I'm running out the door, but I needed to talk to you real quick. Step number two, give them a compliment. You've always been so supportive of me, and I really appreciate that very, very much. So step number three, make an invitation. I've just started a new business, and I'm scared to death. You know, the most valuable words in the English language, could you help me, please? Those are very valuable words, 5 words. I've just started a new business, and I'm scared to death. Before I get going, I need to practice on someone who's a friend. Would you mind if I practiced on you? Now, if somebody's your friend, they're probably going to say, oh, there he goes again into that business. But if you ask them to listen to you, he might listen to you. And if you've never told him about any kind of a business, for sure he will. And if you don't have any friends, go to church and get a pastor to listen to you. Pastors are great, or priests or rabbis. Great circle of influence, aren't they, Nick?
Well, I was going to say, if you don't have any friends, there's still plenty of time to change your life, because living, I mean, you might call that living. I don't call that living life. You can get by a lot easier with a lot of friends. I'm well aware that my life is a lot easier because I'm blessed with a lot of friends. So why not make a lot of friends? You know, the relationship doesn't have to be based on a monetary exchange, but this is a business for people who like people. So everybody on this call should have a lot of friends. If you don't, you should be getting some. Go ahead, Alex.
So the next thing is step number four, which is the deal. So you say, he says yes, hopefully, and great. If I gave you a DVD that laid out the information in a professional way, would you watch it? Wait for an answer. And you might want to add, if it's a 20-minute DVD, say it's only 20 minutes, but something that doesn't scare them off, because someone handed me a 3-hour DVD, I wouldn't watch it. I would say to him, you wouldn't do that to a friend, would you? So... And then you get a time commitment. When do you think you could watch it by? For sure. Thursday? Now you're confirming it. So Thursday? So if I called you Friday morning, you would have reviewed it for sure, right? Fantastic. Okay? Because what's the best number and time for me to reach you on Friday morning? Get off the phone. Great. We'll talk then. Got to run. Thanks. Now, what if you were talking to one of those really, really successful people? And maybe, do you want to see if there are any other questions? Because I can...
No, go ahead. I like where you're going with this. Go ahead.
So let's say you're talking to a really successful person. So let's get the hurry script in there. I know you're busy and you have a million things going on. And I'm sorry, I'm reading it, so I know when I read it wrong. I know you're busy and I have a million things going on too, but I'm glad I caught you. That's it. Now a compliment. You've been wildly successful, and I've always respected the way you've done business. That's the compliment.
I'm going to interrupt Alex for a minute, though. I want you all to get the gist of this, okay? I don't want to have to wait till osmosis sets in. But the whole idea on getting appointments is to get somebody to like you and trust you, so that you can get the appointment, and then you all have a mechanism in place, whether it's a conference call or a big meeting somewhere or some kind of DVD or movie that Alex was talking about, right? But the initial project is to make a friend. Please write that down. Get somebody to like you, and by extension, get them to trust you. If they don't like you and don't trust you, they won't do business with you. So Alex has given you a blueprint
on the steps, on the transitional phrases, on the techniques, on the strategies you can use to do what? Build more bridges. Jimmy Buffett says, build more boats. I've got boats to build. I've got a life to live. I've got places to go, right? Same thing. Make a friend, and by using these transitional phrases, get them to like you, get them to trust you. Then you take them to the presentation, and it's the presentation's job to sell your company, the company, the product, the money, the opportunity, who we are, what we do, and how we do it. And then it comes back to you as a close. And I want to mention one more thing, Alex, before you go to this next point. This whole thing is about duplication. I want to share something with you because a lot of you are letting your downline steal your time. You know, I am a firm believer in getting people on the phone and letting them listen to me set appointments before they actually use leads and set appointments. I'm a firm believer if I'm working my warm market to go with my new marketing partner and make some warm market calls, whether it's by phone or face-to-face. And I'm a firm believer in doing closing interviews on three ways. But you know what? After you set up three appointments on the phone, they should be able to figure this out by themselves. After you do three or four closes, they should be able to start doing closes for the three or four people you recruited. So recognize that after you do this process three or four times, whether it's setting appointments, whether it's doing an actual presentation face-to-face or over the phone, whether it's the closing scenario, that if your marketing partner isn't getting it and isn't duplicating it at that point, it's time to move on and let them figure it out, because obviously they're not taking a vested interest in what we're really doing here. And that's how you get this duplication going forward. By the same token, if you do three closing calls, you don't close anybody, you stay with that new marketing partner until they hear three closing presentations. If you're making phone calls for appointments, you don't get on the phone and talk to 20 people and don't get any appointments. You make sure they hear you secure three or four appointments, and then they should be able to duplicate that process. Go ahead, Alex. Didn't mean to interrupt, but that was a good interjection there.
So we gave the hurry script, we gave the compliment, now comes the invitation. And by the way, this is for a highly successful person. Nick, do you know how you can tell in 30 seconds or in 10 seconds whether you're speaking to a very successful person or not?
I have no idea, Alex, so this will be an eye-opener for me.
If your palms are sweating, you're speaking to someone that's way out of your league. You're talking to the right person.
Or the converse, Alex, is, you know, we teach this. You want to speak to people who want to talk to you more than you want to talk to them. So maybe that's why my palms don't sweat too much.
Absolutely. And the difference between fear and excitement to the body, if somebody was looking at symptoms your body is showing, they're identical. So don't think of it as fear. Think of it as excitement, like you're getting ready for the roller coaster ride. So let's talk about this highly successful person. How do you invite someone like that? Here's a phrase you can use. I've recently started a new business, okay? We've used that before. And I'm looking for some sharp people. Uh-oh, here he comes. He's going through his mind, oh, no, not another one of those. Next phrase, it's clearly not for you. Take him off the hook. But I wanted to ask, who do you know that's ambitious, money-motivated, and would be excited about the idea of adding some more cash flow to their lives? That's it.
Now, and by extension, I want to give you all another one in line with what Alex said. When you're working your warm market, it's called a release. And, you know, Alex, I'm going to do this program. I feel really bad if I made a lot of money at the end of the year. And he said, Nick, you made all this money and didn't tell me what you're doing, so I'm going to make sure that I show it to you first. I'm going to share it with you. But, Alex, understand, whether you want to do it or don't want to do it, it in no way impairs our relationship, okay? But it does make it stronger, because if I won the lottery or you won the lottery, I'm sure we'd invite each other to the victory celebration, wouldn't we? So that release is very important, and that removes a lot of the fear in approaching your warm market. Back to you, Alex.
So now we're up to step number four, which is the deal, if I would you. So the deal for this highly successful person is, I understand that you'd want to know more about it before you recommend anybody. I have a DVD that explains exactly what I'm doing and the kind of people I'm looking for. It's brief. Okay? There's the first part. Here comes the deal. If I send one to you, would you view it? I know you're extremely busy, and I'm so grateful for your help. And then either yes or no. If it's yes, thanks for agreeing to look at it. And so when do you think you could view it for sure? Tuesday? So if I called you after Tuesday, you'll have reviewed it for sure, right? You don't want to waste your time. You don't want to keep calling and calling and calling. People who are successful usually keep their word. If it's not for them, if they don't want to do it, they'll blow you off. But don't be afraid about getting blown off. A yes or a no, they're both answers, and you can go, what it does is it frees you up to go to the next person. Don't hold on to people as if each one is worth it, their weight in gold. Most people are not worth their weight in gold. Just what you're looking is for someone that wants it more than you want it. And there are people. I'm going to do the next one. I have one here for a guy that sold you shoes. So we're up to point number six. Confirm it. So if I called you after that, you'd have reviewed it for sure. Number seven, get a time and a number. All right, I'll check back with you then. What's the best number and time for me to call? Very simple. And it's all written out. Step number eight, get off the phone. Thanks again. I appreciate it so much. I'll talk to you then. That's it. That's the whole story. I mean, it's less than 60 seconds out of your life. And for all you know, I remember when I was in business and I was about to go under. I was desperate looking for something. And for those that think that people are successful all the time, I counted how many times I buried businesses and I ran out of toes and fingers. So,
or they buried you.
But you got to keep going at it. Nobody's going to do it for you. It just doesn't work that way.
Like I said, we'll have this on the blog. Go to nickskolsky.com. But I hope you understand what Alex gave you tonight. It doesn't matter if you're handing out DVDs, if you're booking an appointment for an in-home appointment or an office appointment. It doesn't matter if you're setting up somebody for a bridge line call, you know, tomorrow night at 9:30, whatever it might be. Those are the steps to go through.
Let me throw in the last one because I love this one. This is the cold market prospect who sold you some shoes and you were happy and you thought he did a good job selling you the shoes. Do you mind if I throw this in? I'll do
No. Just go ahead and wrap the call.
So let's do the in a hurry part. Number one, now isn't the time to get into it. I have to go, but okay. So you've established that it's not going to take a lot of time. Put a compliment in. You're super sharp. The guy sold you a pair of shoes you didn't want to buy. Sharp guy. Third step, invite him. So, and I happen to be looking for some sharp people. Do you plan to do what you're doing now for the rest of your career? Remember, he's selling shoes. How's that for a simple question to get to the bottom line? Do you plan to do this for the rest of your life? No? Good. I have something you might be interested in. That's it. That's it. Just 5 seconds and you got him to listen to you. So now's not the time to get into it. We're up to step number four. If I could, would you? Now's not the time to get into it, but I have a DVD that explains it all in great detail. If I gave it to you, would you watch it? When do you think it? Number five, when do you think you'd watch it by for sure? Number six, here comes the confirmation. So if I called you after that, you will have reviewed it for sure, right? Number seven, get a time and a number. All right, I'll check back with you after that then. What's the best time and number for me to call? And here comes number eight. Get out of there. Okay, here it is. Thanks again for the excellent service, and I'll talk to you soon. I just did this. I bought a pair of the Skecher shape-ups, you know, the ones, the shoes that are like the Maasai Warriors, which are higher heel, and then in the middle, you're walking on a D, on a bow.
Maasai Warriors, talk about effective advertising. Do you feel 10 feet tall now and bulletproof?
Absolutely. I bought the shoes, and I really liked the guy's attitude. I said, if I don't like them, how long do I have to get them back? He says, oh, for you, 7 days. And I said, but the policy is 30. Oh, I was just kidding around with you. You're right, it's 30 days. I bought it at a big five store, at a big sporting goods store. He knew it was 30 days. He was being a good salesman. He was striking up a conversation in a way that he could joke around.
Now, I'm going to give you a closing comment, and then I'm going to let Alex put the last word in here. You know, I recognize most of you are not handing out DVDs. So just insert. Most people are recruiting nowadays using corporate bridge line calls, you know, a live presentation. And if I'm trying to put Alex on that call, I'm going to substitute the DVD for the fact that me and my marketing partner, whoever the presenter is, doesn't matter if the presenter lives in Nome, Alaska, or they're in Miami, Florida, or they're in Dallas, Texas. You know, I might not even know Alex. He might just be doing the presentation, but I'm in the same company as him. I guess he's my marketing partner. My marketing partner, Alex Weiss, and I are actually going to do a business overview or a business briefing, however you want to form it. It's going to take about 26 minutes. Do not tell people it takes 15 minutes if it's a 30-minute call. If you're booking an appointment for a one-on-one, don't tell people it takes 10 minutes if you're going to take an hour. And, yes, you get less appointments when you tell them it takes more time, but the quality is higher. So in 26 minutes, you can get a good overview of who we are, what we do, and how we do it. Just jot your questions down, and then use that hook that I gave you guys before. You're going to find out you're going to be one of three types of people, an A, B, or C. Or you're going to use the money close. You're going to find out how you can generate that $3,000 to pay for the car, to pay for that for the house, without touching your primary source of income or interfering with anything you're doing professionally. I'm going to show you how to take some dead, dormant hours and turn it into a steady cash flow of not only immediate cash, but residual income as well. And on next week's call, I'll share with you what really separates me and Alex from the common recruiter, and that's the ability to share a story, and within that story is the solution to the prospect's dominant buying motive, their DBM, their hot button. That's what really sells. Stories sell. But you don't get a chance to share a story unless you can book the appointment. So be sure and take advantage of those 8 points that Alex gave you tonight and try to put those to good use. And I hope that we shared at least one technique or strategy or maybe a little different shift in your mindset that will enable all of us to be more the recruiters and the business builders that we're capable of being and put less and less in the past. And by that, I mean last year was no piece of cake for anybody. And economically, it's going to be a tough year this year for a lot of people. But we're kind of unique. In the industry that we're in, we really do get a chance to control our own destiny, control our own time, control our own life, and control our own future. So grab this opportunity by the reins. Take full advantage of it. When you reach a stumbling block, reach up to your upline, reach up to your mentor, so you can get over, around, however you got to do it, to get to where you want to go. Alex, I'll give you the last word.
And just two things I want to add to this, three things. Number one, if you're doing a call, it's like when we used to bring people to meetings when you had to get them into your car. You never told them I'll meet you there. You get in your car, pick them up, and take them. You have a call, you say, you know what? I wanted to listen to this call too. This guy is phenomenal. If I could get place with him, do you want to be there? Is 3 o'clock better or 7 o'clock better? And you three-way him into the call. Don't give him the number. Three-way him into the call. And you sit there. Don't yawn. You sit at the edge of your seat, excited about it. You know, it's don't make sounds in the background like you're watching TV or radio like somebody else was doing on this call tonight. That's number one. Number two, always remember you're one recruit away from explosive growth. Not from growth, explosive growth.
That's worth repeating.
You're one recruit away from explosive growth. Imagine if you recruited the next-door neighbor of Nick and that person got Nick to join, because the person that's going to give you the explosive growth is not the guy you know and usually not the guy that they know. It's usually a few people down the line if you recruit upwards. You know, if you're a six, if you recruit a five, then that guy will recruit a four, and the next guy will recruit a three, and pretty soon the only people you're recruiting are the people sleeping on park benches. But if you're a six and you recruit a seven, that seven, if he saw what you did, he'll probably be able to go to an eight, and that eight will go to a nine. Imagine getting a 10. But you have to plan it out. You have to know what you're doing. Don't do this by accident. This is a business. This is real. This puts money on your table. You know, think about it a little bit. And the third thing I wanted to say, the last thing, is Nick and I never stop learning. We know that we don't know it all. We're constantly looking for other people that we look up to and trying to listen to them. Nick and I talk almost every day about new things we've heard. Hey, today we said, what are we going to talk about tonight on the call, and how are we going to do it? And it doesn't just fall together by accident, but when you have a library in your brain or written down or someplace that you can refer to, you're miles ahead. You're miles ahead. And if it's really good, write it down and put it in a book, not a loose leaf book with sheets that you tear out and fall out. Put it in a bound book. You can get it in the store for $2, $3, a ledger type of a book. And just keep it. Put your activities down in there. Put things down that when it's red time, you know, when you can't talk to anybody because everybody is sleeping and you're still up. Not green time. Green time you do recruiting. Red time when you can't do anything else is when you do your planning, do your thinking, and, you know, flip back over the pages, see how you're doing. Anyway, that's it for me, Nick.
Alex, I got to underscore you said I've never had a great mentor, and I've had a lot of them, that did not keep a personal journal. And I used to do it and somehow got off track, but I'm in the process of reinventing myself over the next couple of weeks, so I'm going to take your advice and put together a journal tomorrow. Listen, everybody, this is Nick Skolsky, and Alex, I'll give you the last word to say goodnight to everybody.
I think I've spoken enough. Good night, everybody.
Take care. I'll see you on the blog, and we'll see you next week, Wednesday at the 9 time. Remember this, on the beaches of hesitation, beach the bones of countless millions who upon the threshold of victory sat down to wait, and waiting they died. Do not get left behind. Take care. God bless you, and bye for now.
Take care.